Interesting Agartha in Maseches Bechoros. In Maseches Bechoros, there's these many conversations that take place between Rabbi Yeshua and the wise men of Athens, the philosophers of Athens. Very strange, again, cryptic conversations. So Amar Leh, so they said to him one time, they said to Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya the following. They said, Hahu gavra da'ozel ubay itza v'lo yehavu. Hahu gavra, imagine a person, a man who goes ahead, he's azil, he goes, ubay itza, and he wants to marry a particular woman. He seeks this woman's hand in marriage. V'lo yehavu leh. And the shidduch doesn't go. They said, nah, you're not chashuv enough. You're not worthy of this girl. It's not realistic. So my chazile de ozil hecha de madalu de madlu minay. Right? So why would he see it fit? My chazi, would he see it fit? Could you imagine that such a person tries to marry a particular person and it doesn't work out? So would he see it fit to go ahead and try to marry someone who is Dalumina, who's even higher than that? He tried to marry up, whatever that means, in his perspective. He wanted to marry someone who's a little more, you know, he's comes from a very simple family, and he wants to marry into a very distinguished family. So that didn't work. So now he's going to try to marry someone even greater than that. So how did Rabbi Yeshua respond? Shakal sichsa, he took a little piece of wood, toothpick, match, something like that. Dotsa litatoi, took a peg, right? And he tried to insert a dotsa, he tried to insert a litatoi into the lower part of the wall. Velo a'al, and it didn't go in. And then he lifted it up, li'ilai, into a higher part, and a'al, it went in. Amar, hai nami misrami bas mazle. So just like this little stick, this little match, this little peg, right, was not able to be inserted into the lower part of the wall, but was able to be inserted into the higher part of the wall. So too, it could be that this man also, right, Misrami Bas Mazla, he found the girl who was his mazel. He found the woman who was destined for him. Right, the fact that it didn't work out with one person doesn't mean that it's not going to work out with another person, even if it seems on a certain level even less likely. What was the conversation between? Right, what were they really talking about? So the Vilna Gaon says an amazing thing. The Vilna Gaon says you have to understand the philosophers, and it's good. It's Chanukah time. It's kedai for us to get into these agaratas because these agaratas are really very much about kedushas Yisrael and the fact that the nations of the world, some of the wise men of Athens, some of the great people, the great philosophers. Again, the relationship between Greece and Rome is very very strong. Between Yavan and Edom. Is very strong. But one of the things that they really detested is Kedushas Yisrael, is the holiness of the Jewish people. Meaning, let's talk Hanukkah for a second, right? Yavan doesn't mind Torah. Yavan was not interested in destroying the Torah. They never made a gezerah to burn the Torah. They made a gezerah to translate the Torah. They wanted to understand the Torah. They wanted to level the playing field. We have our wisdom, and you have your wisdom. They were very bothered by the notion that the Jewish people are the Am HaNivchar, or the Am Segula. And there are many, many psukim in the Torah that speak about the greatness, the uniqueness, the holiness, the special connection, the inner track that we have towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Gra, let's read inside. Says the Gra, again, after it's bolded where he quotes the Gemara. Ha'inyin shekol ha'nitzuach shalahem haya al malas Yisrael va'umos. All of these debates, this whole machlokas, all of these conversations between the sages of Athens and Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, who was defending the Jewish people, it was all about the Mailas Yisrael va'umos, the relationship. Who is greater, the Jewish people or the nations of the world? She'amru lo, that they said to him, Heich yitochein kamo sha'atem omrim, she'yisrael hin l'malim mikol ha'umos. How could it be what you claim, that the Jewish people are better than the nations of the world? How could it be like the Pasuk says, Yisrael am karovo? Like we say, right, like we say in Pesukei Dezimra, Tilim Kuf Mem Ches, that Yisrael is the Am Kerov, that we're so close with Hashem. Vayisem li segula mikol ha'amim, that we're a segula, that we have this unique charm in the eyes of Hashem from all the nations. or like it says in Chumash Devarim, ulesitcha elyon al kol agoyim, that we somehow have the upper hand over the nations of the world. V'kahena rabbos, and so many psukim like that. The sages of Athens detested that notion. What makes you think? Why do you Jews think you're better? Why do you think you're special? V'yedua shal yedei ha-Torah niskachu Yisrael l'kadosh baruch hu v'nasu lo isha. How did we become married to Hashem? How did we become his wife? And again, that's what this conversation is. If a man went ahead and tried to marry someone and it didn't work out, he's going to try. You think he's going to try to marry someone more distinguished? So how did we become the Am Kadosh? How did we become that holy people? How did we become so close to Hashem? Where does the Dveikus come from? When did we become Hashem's spouse? At Har Sinai. The Kaf Aleihem Har Kegigis, the mountain over our head, was not only a threat, take the Torah or else, it was also a chuppah. We married Hashem at Har Sinai. Right? We went through the whole process of marriage. Leaving Mitzrayim. Kesef Shtar and Bia. Aisha Niknes. Yeah, how did Mizrachis Kedusha begin? Kesef Shtar and Bia. What was the Kesef? The Kesef was the Bizas Hayam. The Bizas Mitzrayim. The money we took out of Mitzrayim and the spoils that we took from the Yam. What was the Shtar? It was the Ksuvah Satorah. What's the Bia? What's the intimacy? Right. It's the Mishkan. Where Kodesh Baruch Hu says, what? V'shachanti b'socham. I want to live with you. I want to have a yichud with you. I want to have a bias. A private home together. So we married Hashem in every sense. Klal Yisrael married Hashem in every sense of the world. So al yidei ha-Torah niskachu Yisrael l'Kodesh Baruch Hu v'nasu lo isha. We became married to Hashem through Kabbalah Satorah. Kamo she'nemar, like the Pasuk says, Lech ahav isha ahuvas re'a. Ka'avas Hashem is b'nei Yisrael. When Hosea, in Sefer Hosea, very interesting story, Hosea is grappling with the relationship, the nature of Hashem's love for the Jewish people. So Hashem sends Hosea to try to experience a strange story. He sends him to marry someone who doesn't seem fit for a Navi. But he sends him, he wants him to love this woman the way that Hashem loves the Jewish people. Right? It's a very deep love, the love that Hashem has for Klal Yisrael. And the Pasuk says, Lemor hein yishalach ish as ishto. Has a man sent away his wife? Has a man divorced his wife? Again, what do the nations of the world claim? What do the Christians claim? What do Muslims claim? They claim that it's true. Hashem once upon a time loved you, but then he divorced you. Right? He replaced you. There's a New Testament. Hashem throughout the Jewish people. So the Nevi'im again reject such a notion. Right, heim yishlach ish as ishto, ve'eza sefer krisos imchem. Where is the divorce document of your mother? You claim, right? The nations claim that Hashem divorced us; He got rid of us. But the reality is, continuing in the left column, v'chein varastich li la'olam. Right, the marriage, the love, the marriage of Hashem and the Jewish people is forever. Shakidushin harishonim havu lo la'olam. They want to claim that it wasn't forever. They want to claim that somehow the marriage ended. That Hashem divorced us, but all the Nevi'im are saying, no, it's not true. Right? The Erusin, the marriage is forever. Kavosh Shenemar, Lo Kabris Asher Karati Asavosam, V'chein Ashuva El Ishi HaRishon, Bayomahu Tikri Li Ishi V'kahena Rabos. Again, so there's this ongoing debate throughout Tanakh, where the nations of the world are saying, Hashem moved on from you. And the Nevi'im keep fighting back and saying, we never got divorced, the original love is still there. Right, the bond is still strong, and there's so many psukim like that. But what's the claim of the Ummah Sa'olam? Why do they think, right, what are they using in this conversation, this debate with Rabbi Yeshua, in the Gemara in Bechoros and Daf Chesam and Beis, why do they think, right, that we're the least chashuv? So they're hinting to a very reasonable claim that they make based on the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah. However, you know, based on the Medrash, based on the Gemara, that when Hashem offered the Torah to the Jewish people, Hashem first offered the Torah to all the nations of the world. So you know what the nations are claiming? Whatever our decision was to accept the Torah or not accept the Torah, fine. Be that as it may. But why did Hashem offer it to us first? Because we're the ideal. We didn't choose it. For whatever reason, we didn't choose it. When Hashem couldn't sell his Torah to sort of the, you know, when Hashem couldn't find like the better shidduch, so then he settled on you lowly Jews. Bunch of slaves in Egypt. But Hashem first wanted to give it to a nation that was distinguished. Right? And that's exactly what they're saying to Yeshua. If a man doesn't marry, he tries to marry a woman who's a very well-respected woman and it doesn't work out, he's going to try to marry someone more respected? No, he's going to lower his standards. That's what happened when Hashem married Klal Yisrael. Hashem wanted to marry all the nations of the world. For whatever reason, they weren't interested in Hashem. So Hashem settled on the lowly Jewish people. Let's read it inside. Va'amru, again, what they said, again, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Bey is Hashem mi Sinai ba. Hashem came to Sinai, or from Sinai. Vizarach me Seir lamo hofia mehar paran. Hashem was by Seir, that's Esav. Hashem was by Paran, that's Ishmael maybe. So the Gemara says, my boy b'Seir, my boy b'Paran. What's Hashem doing in Seir and Paran? How did he end up at Sinai after being in Seir and Paran? Apparently, says the Gemara's tradition, Hashem went around and offered the Torah to all the different nations and no one wanted it. So this is what, again, what the sages of Athens are trying to outsmart Rabbi Yeshua. V'chi efshar shatem yoser b'madrega aliona. You first seek to marry someone who's low, and then you try to marry someone. No, you try to marry the person you think is the most desirable to you. You start with the one. Right? If that doesn't work out, so you'll date someone else who maybe is less desirable to you, but is also, you know, somewhat compatible. But if Hashem went to everyone before he went to the Jewish people, the nations are saying, the sages in Athens are saying to Yeshua, "V'chi efshar shatem yoser b'madrega aliona? Do you think you're a higher level?" When it didn't work out, you think a Kodesh Baruch Hu, right, went for more? He went for less. He settled for less. How could it be that you're more, but you're an afterthought? That you come afterwards. He went to you afterwards, but you're the ideal? How could that be? It's a good time, I know. And it says, "Achar kois vizem matzasi b'marsha shehischu gam kin kanis kalel." After I started writing this, I found that the marsha seems to say a similar idea. So this is what the sages claim. No, so how does Yeshua defend the Jewish people? I mean, it's mamish the honor of the Jewish people. There's the shidduch of Knesset Yisrael and Kutcher Brichu on the line here. So turn to the top of the next page. So he gives his mashal of the peg. Right? It could be that if you take a peg, right, and you try to insert it and it doesn't go. Maybe if you lift it higher, it'll go in. I picture like a bookshelf that has those pegs. Right? So it could be the bottom of the shelf doesn't have the opening, but a little higher up has the opening. You got to find what's compatible. So what's Rabbi Yeshua saying? Why? In what way are we compatible with the Kodesh Baruch Hu more so than the Umas Olam? Right? And what is this mashal of the peg, so to speak, finding its place? So the Gra continues on the top of page Mem Beis. The Gra says, again, the Gemara said, Shachal sichsa dotzel et hatoi. He took a peg, he tried to insert it down below all, it didn't go in. And then le'iloi, he raised it up, and then it went in. And he said, look, so too, hainami misrami le'bas mazle. Sometimes the shidduch, right, it didn't work out with the person who was, you know, on a lower stature, and maybe it works out with someone on a higher stature. How could that be? So Amru says in the Zohar, Hakol tolui b'mazel v'afilu sefer Torah b'heichal. Everything needs mazel. Even the sefer Torah needs mazel. What does that mean, the sefer Torah needs mazel? Even the sefer Torah that resides in the Beis HaMikdash needs a mazel to survive, to have success? What does that mean? V'ainyin kosho l'holmo. This Indian is very hard to grasp. What does that mean? V'ainyin hu kamo she'amru Rabbi Lazar d'chika le'shata. The Gemara says that if a person is dechika leshata, if a person tries to push forward at the wrong time, it'll backfire. If you try to put the peg into a spot where there's no hole, it's not going to go. Right? But if you're patient, you might find that the opening, the way to move forward, is actually, right, of an even higher caliber than you initially imagined. Okay, what does that mean? What are we describing here? Let's keep reading for a second. Va'amru bizar v'tikunim, Shalafisha begilgal harishon pogam masha pogam lachain dachalo shato. Because of failures from a previous lifetime, there's certain opposition, there's certain challenges that you face next time around. Let's read footnote 476. Okay, take a look at 476. In the commentary of the Vilna Gaon on the Zohar, it says the following: "V'biyu Rabbeinu Sham, afal pi shayetzadik gamor, mikol makom chove begilgul rishon, garmulei shelo hayayachol begilgul hazel lakaima leishata." Even Torah, and it's a strange idea because you think, what does it mean to, you know, which one of us is going to be the most successful in Torah? Whoever puts in the most effort. But even Torah has a certain mazel, right? It's interesting that the relationship that we have with Hashem is a shidduch. Shidduchim have a certain mazel. So when it comes to Torah, you need a certain mazel for things to go. But, so what can I do about that? Does that mean I'm just like, I'm either destined to be a Talmud Chacham or not? Destined to have a love of Torah or not? How does this work? What does that mean? The Gra is saying, in the footnote, he's saying that even at Tzadik Gamor, you might be a person who thinks, you know, or is truly a type of person who seemingly should have a lot of success in Torah, but somehow from a remnant from a previous lifetime, something's holding me back. And then he writes further, he says, V'ayin b'bir Rabbeinu b'mishlei. I look at the Vilna Gaon's commentary on Mishlei, where the Gra tells us, you know how Gilgulim work? Listen to this. Shim'einu matake in masha'ives b'sholish pamim. If you don't fix, you get three tries. Three strikes, you're out. If you don't fix something in three gilgulim, oz yamus misas olam, then you die forever. You got three tries. But sometimes, the point is that sometimes, you know, failures, averos, shortcomings from a previous lifetime becomes a blockage in this lifetime. So there's a sort of mazel, right? Meaning the philosophers of Athens, they think like, hold up, we can explain logically, right? If the shidduch didn't work out with a certain type of quality person, well, it's not going to work out with someone who's on a higher, right? So it comes along Rabbi Yeshua and says, well, there's a mazel. There's the Yad Hashem in this. There's a hashkacha. Not everything is logical. Not everything can be philosophically, you know, solved, so to speak. Right? So let's go a little deeper in this idea. Says the Gra in the next paragraph. V'inyan d'chikas hasha. What does it mean to force the moment? Right? To be dochek the shah. The tikkunim Zohar explains that sometimes you have a situation where a person was born with a certain teva or a certain mezeg, a certain nature, and because of that, osa hasha dochekeslo, because he was born under certain circumstances, whatever that means exactly, so there's certain opposition, there's certain challenges that he has. He was born and like the stars were not aligned. It's like a little bit off. Right? So what does that mean? V'amru, and furthermore, it says in Tikkuni Zohar, Ashrei mi shenolad b'shato ha-mechuvenes lo. Fortunate is the person who was born at a time that's right for him. What does that mean? Hashem messed up? Some of us were born and like, you know, our neshama wasn't properly aligned with our guf, and therefore we're going to struggle forever. It has a roshem of what happened in a previous lifetime that sets me up for success or not in this world. Well, what does that mean? How does this work? V'zeu odem sheyeslo mazel v'shato medeslo v'kol kefi mashahayu begilgal. Yes, there's a person who's mazel, and the timing, so to speak, of his life is omedislo. It stands by him. It lines up. And everything may depend on, again, what happened in a previous lifetime. So a person has to realize that there are a lot of factors that go into, you know, my success. Again, I have to do the best that I can. Right? My job is to try. My job is to make an effort. Shedocha kuas hasha. Lachein gam kein hasha dochakto. Sometimes you try to push. You want it to happen in a certain way. And again, that's why this mashal of shidduchim is so fitting. Because sometimes, I've seen so many times, you have a situation where, you know, people are dating and it's coming along, and then one of them starts to get a little too pushy. Starts to try to push things along in a certain way. One of them gets a little antsy, wants to see things moving a little faster, and the other one's not ready yet. And by pushing, the whole relationship gets weird and the whole thing falls apart. I've seen it happen many times. It was on a good trajectory. So the same thing is true in our relationship with Hashem. You can't force things. Right? There's a certain process by which things are going to happen. There's a certain way that things have to align. You know? Then you have like a key that, you know, for a door. Right? And it's the right key. But if you don't like wiggle the door the right way, it like just doesn't go. Right? And if you're too forceful, you'll end up breaking the key. So you have to be gentle, you have to be patient. In a shidduch, right? In one's relationship with Torah and one's relationship with Hashem, there are certain factors that transcend any logic. And that's why the sages of Athens, they're bothering Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua, how does it make sense that the Jewish people ended up with the Torah? Doesn't make a lot of sense. And Yeshua says, oh, you don't understand. Sometimes you can't get the peg into the lower part of the wall because that's not where the hole is. That's not where the shelf aligns. But maybe it aligns a little bit higher up. So when a person is doichik the Shah, then the Shah is dochakto. Then the Shah pushes back against him, so to speak. Kamosha Amru, as the Gemara says in Erevin, call it doichik as a Shah, Shah dochakto. Right? Dochakto. When a person pushes in the wrong time, so it pushes back. But a person who says, you know what, now is not the right time, it's not working, I'm going to be patient, I'm going to be respectful of the mazel, of Gilgulim, of things I don't understand, I'm going to live a more transcendent understanding of reality and not be locked into my rational thoughts. Again, this is so much the fight of Torah versus Chachmas Yevanis, which is Hanukkah. Right, so then a person is able to become more successful. Now, what are we really talking about? Right? So look at footnote 479. Let's read this Gemara in Erevin and the Rashi over there. Right, Rashi says, Hadochik es hasha. What does it mean to be dochik es hasha? What does it mean to push in the wrong way? A person who is mityageyal hashir lizgadel, a person who's working hard to be rich, to be successful, to get ahead, v'roi she'ino matzliach. And he sees that it's not working out. So you know what he does? Instead of having the humility to say, you know what, let me slow down a little bit. Let me pull back a little bit. What does he do instead? Afal pichin chozer v'holich lamer chakim. He decides to relocate. Right? When people realize he's not some big shot that he claims to be. So you know what he does? He packs his bags. He goes somewhere else. U'machnis atzmo l'gvos. And he goes to a new place and he comes to town and pretends he's a big shot. He can't accept that you're not such a gavur rabba. Have the humility to say now is not your time to, you know, this was not your time to shine. Be patient. But the person who's patient, Rashi says, Shao medislo. What does that mean? Shao medislo. La'achar zman asid lamud lo shal matzlachas. If he's patient, then the success will come, right? And that's what it means when the Gemara says, "Kol nitchem ne'asha, sha nitches mepanav." If you allow yourself to follow Hashem's lead, and you trust the mazel, and you make an honest effort, eventually the pieces will align. The key will open the door. The shidduch will work out. The job will fall into place. Right? The Torah success that you're seeking will become your reality. But you have to be patient with it. You can't force it. And says the Gemara, that's what it means. V'zeu sha'amru, right? Going back up top now to the left column. There's a lot of mazel. There are a lot of things you can't understand. And afilu haTorah gamkein. And the same thing is true with Torah, right? Lemisha nolad b'shah hamuchan leTorah kamo shalom b'tikunim. There's a certain time. The same way that certain people will have an easier time financially in this world. So some people have an easier time with what? With success in Torah. Like he writes in footnote 480. The Gra's commentary on Tikkuni Zohar, he writes, Iker Shata Omer Khan, that when we talk about the time, finding the right time here, we're not just talking about financial success, we're talking about the Mezoina Doraisa. We're talking about the money, the Muslim, the sustenance of Torah. Right? To Hasid Kafi Madre Glaso Haroi, to understand according to your level. Okay, so you can't force it. But now, let's go deeper into this mushel of the peg. Because there's a deep thing here. Says the Vilna Gaon, the Medrash says that one time, the Medrash of Kohelis Rabba says that one time a Roman noblewoman asked Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta the following question. Medrash says, Shaula hahi matronisa. Matronisa means like a noblewoman. One time this noblewoman stopped Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta in the street. And she said to him, I don't understand the verse in the book of Daniel. Okay, I guess she was reading the book of Daniel. It says in the book of Daniel, Yohev Chachmesol Chakimin, Hashem gives wisdom to the wise. Lishotimi Baile. Why does God give wisdom to the wise? You know? It's not fair that the rich get richer. Make Elon Musk pay taxes. Why should the rich get richer? Right? Let the poor have money. No? Why does God give wisdom to the wise? They're already smart. Let the stupid people have Hashem's wisdom. No? Why does the pasuk say Yohev Chachmas Lechakimin, that God gives wisdom to the wise? Right? Lishotim Ibayle. Let the fools get the wisdom. That would be more fair. Right? That would be more equitable. What do they call it? Equitable. Right? Amar La. So he said, so let me ask you, he says. When you're giving your money to someone to invest, or someone wants to borrow money from you. Yeah? So who are you going to give your money to? If someone who you know is a wealthy person, successful person, says, listen, I need to borrow $10,000. Right? Or a poor person comes to you and says, listen, I need $10,000. Who are you quicker to give it to? So she said, the rich person. Right? Why? Because he knows how to invest it. Even if, you know, something goes wrong with this, I'm confident that he has other means to pay me back. Right? Why can't you give it to the poor person? I'm scared I'll lose the money and I'll never see it again. So he says to her, Imata Malava, Mois, Lamiata Malava. Who if you give money to people, who do you lend to? La Ashir or La Ani? Amr lo La Ashir, I give to an Ashir. Amr lo Adraba, La Ani Tzarech La Halvos. You should probably lend it to a poor person. He needs it more. Amra, so she said, Amr lo, Lefisha Ina Batuach. I can't trust this person. He's not going to give me the money back. Amr lo, so she said, that's exactly with Hashem. Hashem gives wisdom to the person he can trust. In other words, says the Vilna Gaon, and this is what Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah is saying back to the wise men of Athens, if God tried to give the Torah to Esav and to Yishmael and that didn't work out, right, so why would he give it to the Jews? It must be God settled on the Jews. Right? Or maybe not. Right? Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gives wisdom to those who are truly wise. Maybe there was a mazel, there's a reason, maybe there's a deeper reason why it didn't work out with Esav and Yishmael, and by giving it to the Jews as an afterthought, maybe that's actually an upgrade. Maybe the peg doesn't go into the lower part of the wall for some strange reason, but it will actually fit into the higher part of the wall, and it'll be a perfect fit. And the shelf will take its place. So Yeshua is saying, you have to understand, you think, you smart people, you sages, you philosophers, you think that what? Because you're smarter, you think the Torah is more matim for you? There's a mazel here that you're missing. Kein b'Torah. Mi she'eno noled b'mazel shel Torah, eino nosno lo. Ki lo yisha'er b'yado acher she'eno b'mazlo. Hashem only wants to give the Torah to the person who's what? Who can be entrusted to guard the Torah, to protect the Torah. So now let's talk Torah. What's the mazel of Torah? So says the Gra in the last paragraph on page Membeis. He quotes the Gemara in Chagiga. V'zeu sha'amu, the Gemara Chagiga says, it's on the Pasuk in Koheles, Divrei Chachamim Kedar Banos, the words of the sages is like a cattle, you know, prodder, a cattle goad. Yeah, that thing that pokes the, you know, that keeps the ox on the path. Divrei Chachamim Kedar Banos, the words of the sages is like a cattle prodder, Ukamas Maros, and like nails, end of the pasuk, which is nails that are, you know, that are inserted into their place. What's this image of the cattle poker? Right? And like the nail that's hammered into its place. So the Gemara says, Ma darban mechavein asapara lislamea lahotichayim laolam. Just like the cattle poker keeps the ox plowing and plowing and plowing. And if the ox plows, then we can plant. And if we can plant, then we'll have food. So just like this prod is responsible for keeping the para on its path to bring chayim to the world, to be able to produce, you know, produce, af divrei Torah, mechuvanim lilomdeyem midarchei amisa, turn to the last page, lidarchei chayim. So too, Torah pokes us along the path, steering us from a path of death, God forbid, to a path of life. It pokes us along. Maybe you'll say, says the Gemara, Ima darban metaltel, af divrei Torah metaltelin. Maybe just like the poker sometimes is there and sometimes is pulled back, right? It's not on the cattle the entire time. If you see the animal straying, so you push it back onto the path. So maybe Torah also is sometimes present, sometimes not. It's metaltel. It's sometimes there and sometimes not. Maybe it can be moved around. Maybe the Torah is flexible. So it says the pasuk, no. Ukamas miros. It's like nails that are hammered into place. The Torah steers us along the path, but the Torah is also firm. The Torah, like the cattle poker, steers the ox along the path to produce the produce, to produce the food, the sustenance, right? But it also, there's a level of what? There's a level, it's compared to a nail that's hammered into its place, that's committed, that stays in its place, that doesn't move about at all, that's locked into its place. Ba'inyan, so says the Gra. Shenim shalidarban, on the one hand, Torah is compared to the cattle poker. Shimisham kola shiras vachayim sholom haza. Kmo shenemar v'rav tuos b'koach shor, kein divrei Torah. The same way that the cattle poker steers the ox, this brute animal, along the path, which will then allow, you know, food to be planted and to be grown and to be produced. So too, Divrei Torah also steers us along the life so that we can have a real meaningful life. We can have success. We can have schar. We can have olam haba. Everything that we need. But yachol kishem shashiras eino omid b'makom echad elaholeich la'acher. So maybe you'll say, maybe just like wealth is part of this galgal hachozer ba'olam. Kein Divrei Torah. Maybe Divrei Torah, maybe God chooses the Jews, and then he chooses the Christians, then he chooses the Muslims. Right? Maybe God, you know, mixes it up once in a while. L'chein nimshol l'masmer. Therefore, says the Gemara, no. Says the Pasuk in Kohelet, it's compared to a nail. The relationship with Hashem and the Jewish people is forever. Hashem never divorced us. Hashem never abandoned us. She'eino zaz mimakomo. And part of that is because what? It's because the Jewish people and their commitment to Torah is also firm. That's Rabbi Yeshua's answer. Nasa v'nishma, think about it. What went wrong when Hashem offered the Torah to Seir and to Parah and to Yishmael, to Esav? What was their response? Tell us about it. Let's see if it fits our understanding of ourselves. So Hashem says, Lo signov. Lo sinaf. You know? Lo sirtzach. It's not a good fit. It doesn't work for us. So now the sages of Athens may be regretting that they turned down the Torah, that they tried to size themselves up with Torah in some type of rational way, and that they weren't all in, they weren't committed, like the nail that's hammered into its place. But they said, oh, we're into Torah, but it's got to be flexible. That's Yavan, that's Greek. Right? That's God on my terms, not God on his terms. The Torah is compared to a nail. So too, Divrei Torah. Hashem says, I only want to give the Torah to the one who's committed completely. And that was Klal Yisrael. It said, Nasav Nishma. Sign us up. We don't even know what it says, but we're in. Shenamar, like the Pasuk says. Where's this Pasuk? In Yeshaya. Usakativ Yaseid b'makom ne'aman. The Yaseid, the peg, is what? Is inserted into a makom naman, into a trustworthy place. Ratzalom or b'makom asher lo yimot, to a place where it's going to stay. Right? You could try to force the peg into a spot on the wall where it's not meant to go, and it's not gonna work. You're gonna end up cracking the peg, or it's gonna damage the wall and it's gonna fall out. But if you find the right shidduch, if you find the right mazel, if you find the right connection, so then it goes. And that's what Yeshua said. You Gaivadik, you know, sages of Athens, you think you're so smart. You think you want Torah on your terms. You think you turned down the Torah. God was just messing with you. You aren't the mazel. You aren't the shidduch. There's a certain mazel that the Torah requires. And yes, maybe you look at the Jewish people sometimes and on the surface we're a downtrodden nation and you think it's not a good shidduch. But Hashem chose us. Why do we read Megillah Seros on Shavuos? I read the story of Rus. The story of Rus is the story of what? Of a woman who's become a downtrodden woman, and Boaz. She marries Boaz. Mashiach comes from what? From this lost princess, Mamish. That's who Rus is. The Moabite princess, the lost woman who's gone through some tough times. And Boaz. Boaz is the shofet of Klal Yisrael. It's the most unlikely shidduch in the world. But the Zadikim say that's why we read it on Shavuos, because Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people marrying Hashem at Har Sinai, is also the most unlikely shidduch in the world. But Rabbi Shuv ben Chananya says, To those who think with their brain, it makes no sense. To those who think with their neshama, the mazel, in a way that transcends logic, is perfect, perfectly logical. It makes perfect sense. So it says the Gra, the last two paragraphs. That's what Rabbi Yeshua explained. Sometimes you try to force the peg, right, into a lower part of the wall and it doesn't go. Again, the wisdom is compared to that peg. It doesn't work out with the fools. You think you're the smart ones, sages of Athens. You think because God offered it to you first, right? So that was the good shidduch. If you didn't get the good shidduch, you take a downgrade. Nah, olam hafach ra'isi. You're seeing the whole world upside down. In the last paragraph, when you insert the peg into its proper place, then it goes. And that's why, again, this Roman noblewoman says to Rav Yossi, why does God give wisdom to the wise? Hashem sees things differently. Hashem gives wisdom to what? The Jewish people, again, in some way that's not always obvious to the nations of the world. Why are you the Am Segula? Why does Hashem give you his great wisdom? Why did God want to marry you? Because in a way that they can't understand, we're the mazel. We're the one who has the mazel. Because we have, again, the cattle pronger, the cattle goat on the one hand, but also the nail, that commitment on the other hand. Kein hu v'nesinas ha-Torah. Shelo kiblu ha-umos. The nations of the world couldn't receive the Torah. They thought they were choosing not to receive the Torah. No. She'ein abas mazlam. Their mazel, something internally made them reject the Torah. Lo sirtzach, lo sinaf, eseres adiros, they said, it's not for us. Ve'esav umnuso alacherev, Yishmael, yado bakol, Esav with his sword, Yishmael taking advantage of everyone, ad yisramile bas mazle ha'yiso. So Hashem found the perfect shidduch, and trust me, says Rabbi Yeshua, it wasn't a downgrade, it was a major upgrade. Hashem was just messing with the nations of the world. Hashem was proving, right, that as smart as they were, as much as it would have made perfect sense for them to choose the Torah, they didn't choose the Torah. Their mazel rejected it. Because in some way that transcends logic, Klal Yisrael and the Torah are the perfect shidduch. So, Chavar, I want to give you all a compliment because we're all very exhausted. Everyone in this room is very exhausted tonight. We had a long week and the week just started and there's a lot of things going on, but you made the commitment to come to learn. So you proved exactly what this piece is about. Which is what? That there's a certain mazel. We have to say thank you, Hashem. We were zocha tonight to learn the deep wisdom of the Vilna Gaon, to understand another deep agarata, this one from Maseches Bechoros, Daf Ches, you know, to connect it a little bit to the Chodesh of Kislev, where Yavan tries to say everything has to make sense, and they don't understand there's an Hashem, there's something transcendent that goes above any logic that, you know, that we can even understand. They don't understand why they rejected the Torah. We don't understand why we had the courage to say Nasa V'nishma. We don't know how this shidduch makes sense. But, you know, here we are. We're sitting in it right now. Feeling Hashem's love. And we're showing that like the masmoros, right? Like the nails that are firmly in their place. That Torah is not negotiable. That even when I'm tired, I still make the effort to come out and learn. That's the greatest proof of what we learned. That it's a tremendous nachas ruach to the Borei Olam. And it makes me happy because I wouldn't have wanted to sit here by myself tonight, so thanks for being. Okay, shkoyach.
Ivory, 9 o'clock.
What is that? Yeah, we'll catch 9 o'clock, Meir. 15 minutes for those who want.